Welcome back to the Conservative Cat Show, where truth, faith, and a good sense of humor are still allowed. folks, we are diving into history today. Yes, we are going to be talking about a proclamation from President Donald Trump. And that has, of course, sent the professional outrage mob, I like to call them the professional outrage mob, into cardiac arrest because of President Donald Trump's proclamation. So we're going to be talking about that. Today is going to be a different show. We are going to be diving into the history of Christopher Columbus, one of my favorite historical figures of all time. And I'll prove to you why he's one of the best historical figures, American historical figures of all time. I mean, he's the best, one of the best. So Donald Trump, he held a cabinet meeting and we talked about it last week. It was on Thursday. This is where they kind of celebrated, you know, the Israel-Hamas peace deal. It's kind of funny. The professional outrage mob, they were screaming, free Palestine, free Palestine, free Palestine. And then Donald Trump does it. And then they're like, well, we didn't want Donald Trump to do it. So they were celebrating that at a cabinet meeting. And then they were also celebrating the military recruitment numbers are up. They're on the rise. So lots of things to celebrate today. One of them being Christopher Columbus Day. Before the president, you know, had celebrated with his cabinet about the Israel-Hamas peace deal, the rise in military recruitment, before those celebrations, the president made news. And this news, of course, hit the professional outrage mob, the cultural battlefield right between the eyes, these cultural... they think they're all cultural, right? They think that they're really cool and that they know a lot about the native people, right? The indigenous people, they think they're very cultured. This hit them right between the eyes. So he proclaimed that October 13th, that's today, is Columbus Day. And he proclaimed it to be Columbus Day, nothing else. The real unapologetic, patriotic celebration of the man whom the left has spent years trying to erase, trying to demonize, and Trump put it very plainly, Christopher Columbus was a true American hero, and every citizen is eternally indebted to his relentless determination. And, you know, with that classic Trump grin, he says, Columbus Day, we're back, Italians. We love the Italians. I'm sure the faculty lounges today, the teacher faculty lounges, the activist blue sky, Twitter feeds, whatever. I'm sure that they are collectively gasping for air today because the woke historians, they're clutching their pearls and they're clutching under their soy lattes. How could he dare call it Columbus Day? It's Indigenous People Day. No, I'm sure that this, you know, struck at the heart of the left's new religion, the erasing of heroes. This is something that is a tenet of their faith, the leftist faith. They love to erase heroes and rewrite history because they're a bunch of fascists. So they've toppled statues, they've rewritten entire textbooks. And it gets really confusing. So if you have some teens, if you have some actually elementary age students, secondary education, tune in today. Archive this show. Show them maybe later you're on the way to work. Maybe show your kids a little bit later this show. Because we're going to dismantle this whole modern narrative that Christopher Columbus was a bad guy. Okay. That he is not worthy of being celebrated. And as Trump said, under his leadership, those days are finally over. And they've been over here on the Conservative Cat Show. I don't play into, what is it, Kwanzaa. I don't play into Kwanzaa. I'll do an episode closer to Kwanzaa about how that's a fake holiday and nobody should ever celebrate it. It's disturbing. It's the celebration of a cult leader who tied women up with drop cords and was a disgusting human being. That's Kwanzaa. I will not play into the left modern narrative that these are holidays worthy of celebration. June 19th. We did an episode about that this year. So let's get something straight about Columbus Day. When the radical left tells you that they want to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous People Day, you know, they're just rewriting the moral foundation of Western civilization. They don't like Western civilization, and that is why they want to replace Christopher Columbus Day with Indigenous People Day. They're not adding another holiday. I wouldn't even be all that peeved off if you were just adding another holiday. Okay. I don't like Juneteenth because Juneteenth doesn't celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation, which was the actual ending of slavery, and they are rewriting history with Juneteenth. But this, when they say Indigenous People Day, I wouldn't even be all that upset if they had like a separate day, but they're really trying to replace Columbus Day with it. And with Juneteenth, they're trying to rewrite history and say that Juneteenth, or, you know, and I'm not going to get into it here because it's about Columbus Day. They're trying to say that Juneteenth, an event that happened on June 19th in the Civil War era, they're trying to say that that was the ending of, or the true ending of slavery. And really, you've got to recognize the Emancipation Proclamation as the ending of slavery. Anyway, so they want your kids, kindergarten through 12th grade, and then in college, they want them to believe that discovery, courage, faith, and Western law and Western civilization are crimes and were crimes. They don't want your kids to appreciate Western civilization, and they want to substitute that with some sort of guilt-ridden mythology, because that's what Indigenous People Day is. It's a guilt-ridden mythology that says that everything before 1492 was beautiful harmony. Everybody was living in a utopia of peace and equality and, you know, eco-friendly drum circles, and they were doing rain dances, and this mean Italian guy comes in and he ruins it all with his compass and his cross. Okay. Now, I don't know what history class a lot of these faculty members in your school district took. I took a history class. Thank God I didn't have a woke history teacher, and I actually learned about the truth regarding Christopher Columbus. Now, after that history teacher, I've had some revisionist history professors and in my high school, but I did have an elementary school, or like a middle school, I think it was, history teacher who wasn't a revisionist historian, didn't try to rewrite history. And I don't know what history classes people are taking nowadays, but I'm going to be the one that gives you the actual facts. Okay, here on the Conservative Cat Show about Christopher Columbus, because the world before Christopher Columbus was not paradise. They weren't sitting around in a cute little circle with drums and like doing little rain dances. They weren't living in harmony at all. There might have been some aspects that were beautiful, like maybe their art was pretty cool, their agriculture and the way they farmed, these tribal natives, these indigenous people. There might have been some beautiful things about their culture, but there was also conquest. There was tribal disputes. There was war, constant war. There was slavery going on. There was ritual violence. Before Europe showed up, there was human sacrifices where people would cut out the hearts of each other. Okay, these native indigenous people, they'd cut out their hearts and offer it up to their sun gods. So that way their crops would grow. Okay, that's what we're dealing with here. Okay, so this is the truth the left will never say out loud about Christopher Columbus. Columbus did not invent oppression. Let me say that again for the people in the back. Columbus did not invent oppression. He arrived in a world that already had plenty of it. People were enslaved. People were locked up prior to sacrifice, human sacrifice. And he arrived to a world that was already loaded up with oppression. Okay. He didn't invent oppression. So why is it they've tried to cancel this man? Okay. Christopher Columbus. What was it about this guy they just so desperately want to cancel every single year? Well, he was born around 1451, Christopher Columbus. He was a sailor's son, and he started staring at the horizons, dreaming of lands unknown. He was a sailor's son. He was growing up, and he wanted to study. He wanted to navigate. He wanted to map and use the stars to navigate the world. And most importantly, what this kid did, kid and then later explorer, adult man, he was all about the Bible. He read the Bible. He studied navigation. He studied maps. He studied the stars. Columbus, above all else, he believed in his mission. And his mission was not just to explore and find new lands. It was really to spread the gospel. Okay. In his own writings, he called himself a, quote, messenger chosen by God to open the gates of the ocean. Okay. So he wasn't sailing for greed. He was sailing for glory, God's glory. Okay. Now, sure, Spain financed his journey, and there were definitely political motives as well. The monarchs, they wanted trade routes and wealth. And we, being the fat, happy Americans we are today, are probably really indebted to Spain and to the political people behind Columbus's journey here, because it opened up trade routes and what we know today, and it kind of paved the way for what we know today is our commerce and your ability to get a package at your door, you know, within a day. Okay. So without Christopher Columbus, none of that would have been possible, because the monarchs, they did want trade routes, and, you know, this journey was financed definitely by Spain. There were some political motives. I'm not going to completely dismiss that. But really, in Columbus's heart, and you can tell by his writings, what he really believed in was fulfilling a prophecy and bringing Christian civilization to the ends of the earth. Okay, just as scripture says in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world as a testimony to all nations. So, above all else, I really truly believe that Christopher Columbus was doing this to spread glory, God's glory. He was sailing for glory. So, let's step back a moment. In 1492, Europe was coming out of the Middle Ages. Okay, the printing press had just been invented. And this is why I say Christopher Columbus was, I think his primary motive here was to spread the gospel. It's because at this time, right out of the Middle Ages, there was like what you would call, I don't want to say Great Awakening, but like there was just this revival happening because the printing press had just been invented. Knowledge was spreading and faith was really fueling people's exploration because more and more people were getting saved after the Middle Ages. Okay, so meanwhile, across the Atlantic, great empires, you know, of the Americas were advanced, you know, somewhat. you could try to call it advanced. The Americas, the old world, as far as agriculture, I would say agriculture and art was definitely something the indigenous people had, but they had no structure. And it was really steeped in rituals that would make today's college protests look tame. Today's BLM riots look tame. You literally had people over in the Americas cutting out people's hearts and offering up humans as sacrifice. Okay, I mean, that was just a small little sliver of what was going on over there. It was somewhat advanced, but it definitely needed more. Okay, archaeologists and historians agreed that in parts of Central and South America, thousands of people were executed yearly in these rituals. thousands of people, okay, meant to appease their gods. So in Central and South America specifically, they were really doing these rituals like to the tune of thousands a year. Okay. And why were they doing that? It's because fear ruled where truth was absent. They didn't have the truth. They didn't have the gospel. Okay. And when people don't know who their creator is and people don't know who Jesus Christ is, they invent a creator. They invent gods who demand blood instead of mercy. So that's what was going on in Central and South America prior to Christopher Columbus. Now, I'm not trying to judge. I mean, human sacrifice is terrible. Okay, don't get me wrong. Cutting out people's hearts for your sun gods, not something I agree with. But I don't want to fall into this trap where you judge a group of people on 21st century standards, okay? I know human sacrifice is wrong because I have the truth, and I have Jesus Christ. Christopher Columbus knew that human sacrifice was wrong because he had the truth. When you don't have the truth, these people were never exposed to the truth. So I'm not trying to condemn them. I'm just telling you that this is human history, and this is what was really going on. It was not utopia. They weren't doing like little cute rain dances and painting each other's faces. And I think that we get this idea in our head. That's not what was going on. And when Columbus arrived, he entered a world not as a conqueror. Okay. And a lot of people mischaracterize Christopher Columbus as a conqueror. No, he was not a conqueror. He was a harvester of souls, okay? Because he had this crazy idea that every person was made in the image of God. And that really changed everything. Bringing that ideology here to the Western world, to the Americas, that really changed everything. It was the seed in which Western law, science, liberty itself would grow. And Christopher Columbus planted that seed. So I want you to picture this, and this is where you might have to brush up on your elementary history. Picture this, the three ships, okay? The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, okay? They were all setting sail from Palos de la Frontera. I feel like I'm going to butcher some of these names, but Palos de la Frontera on August 3rd, 1492. These three ships sailed out, okay? And the Atlantic at the time, you have to understand the courage. Like, I scream when I see a ladybug, okay? Like, I could not imagine going out there into the unknown and doing what God called me to do, which Columbus truly believed that he called himself, chosen by God to spread the gospel. Okay. We have writings, okay, where he really thought this of himself, that he was chosen by God to go do this. Okay. And I mean, the courage here is insane, because the Atlantic at the time was actually called the Sea of Darkness. Okay. And a lot of sailors, remember, he came from a sailor family. A lot of sailors didn't want to go out there because they actually believed sea monsters were beyond the horizon. They thought for sure that they were going to be swallowed up by sea monsters. Columbus, he believed in something greater. He believed in God's creation, and that it was orderly and navigable. And he totally dismissed all of the sea monsters or in the Atlantic notions, because he was just a courageous guy and he believed in God's power and his creation and God's will for there to be order and for the world to be navigated and discovered and explored. Okay, so every morning on that voyage, you know, Santa Maria, the Pinta, the Nina, okay, the three ships, every morning, okay, on the voyage, and this is documented, he'd lead his crew in prayer. Okay, every night they'd read from the book of Psalms. And I mean, we've got some historical documentation that backs this up. And there were points on this journey, you know, I don't know if you've ever taken your kids on a road trip for the weekend, but you almost always have to avoid a mutiny at some point. The crew almost mutinied after there was a mutiny after about a few weeks, okay, without sight of land. They were starting to lose their marbles, okay, just like the kids in the backseat. Mom, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And Columbus, being the leader he was and the man of God he was, he calmed things down through faith and reason, and he'd open every morning in prayer, and he'd close with the book of Psalms. And, you know, 70 days at sea, they finally the cry finally came from the Pinta. Okay, land ho, land, land, right? And that's the cry after 70 days at sea. Okay, and that single word, land, there's land, that would change the course of human history. So I'm going to talk about the first landing in part one of this show. And then part two, we're going to talk about some other explorations that Christopher Columbus did. Okay, so Christopher Columbus, he stepped on the shore, ashore in the Bahamas, what we know as the Bahamas today, October 12, 1492. And a lot of people think, oh, Christopher Columbus, he planted a flag and he said, it's mine. You know, no. He knelt and he actually lifted the cross and prayed. Okay, this is a guy of deep, deep faith and literally thought that he was called by God to go do this thing. And I believe that he was. He says, oh, Lord, he lifted the cross and he prayed, oh, Lord, eternal and omnipotent God, by thy holy word, thou hast created the heavens, the earth, and the sea. Bless this land and all who dwell upon it. Wow. Now, that's the first recorded prayer to be ever spoken by a European on American soil. Okay. And that prayer really set the tone that this was not a mission of conquest. Like I said, he's not a conqueror. But it was a mission of consecration. They wanted to convert souls to Christianity and save souls and harvest souls. So critics today, they're going to roll their eyes and they're going to say, oh, well, he colonized. Yeah. Okay, colonization, you know, you could say it's bad. In the context, though, I've already told you what was going on in these places prior to Christopher Columbus. I'm talking human sacrifices and cutting out people's hearts, thousands of people dying in this ritual sacrifice every single year. Sure, colonization followed, okay? But sin follows every human venture. And really, this was an ideological war and somebody had to come out victorious, okay? And to be honest with you, I'm glad that Christopher Columbus came out victorious, because I would not want to be practicing human sacrifices today. And the reason why we're not is because Christopher Columbus was victorious, okay? But we are all fallen creatures, and I'm not saying every single mission or conflict or military action that Christopher Columbus took was by the book awesome. Okay. But what we're doing now and what the left is doing as far as Christopher Columbus and trying to cancel him, they're trying to judge. And it's so funny because these people will say, oh, don't judge people. Okay. He was a 15th century sailor. Okay. And you're trying to judge him by 21st century political standards. Okay. And that is so arrogant. I won't even go as far as to say that I'm judgmental. I'm not condemning them. I'm just telling you the historical facts of the indigenous people at that time. They were performing human sacrifices. They were constantly at war with each other. They were oppressing each other, enslaving each other. That's what was going on in the Americas prior to Christopher Columbus. Okay, that's just a historical fact. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to come out here and say, I mean, human sacrifice is wrong, and I know that now, but they didn't know that back then that it was wrong. And they judge a 15th century sailor, Christopher Columbus, by 21st century political standards. And that's not right. It's just arrogant, and that's not the way we should look at history. Okay. I want to pause real quick for a word from our sponsor, The Woke Historians Anonymous. You need to turn a hero into a villain? Call 1-800-CANCEL-THEM. They specialize in removing context. They ignore faith. They apply 2025 standards to 1400 AD events. Because why study history when you can moralize it? Okay, so call our sponsor, Woke Historians Anonymous. If you need to turn a hero into a villain, you can call them 1800, cancel them. All right, satire breakover. Let's get back to Christopher Columbus. Now, he, like I said, Bahamas, 1492, in October sometime, October 12th. So Columbus, he met the islanders there. Okay, and he actually, and this is recorded, all documented, recorded his admiration, okay, and the generosity of some of these peoples that he encountered, these indigenous people, okay, their generosity, their openness. Now, he did note their practices. He noted that there was warfare between tribes. He noted that there was slavery, and he noted the rituals that were rooted in fear. They were afraid of their gods. Remember, they didn't have the truth. They don't understand that God, the creator, Yahweh, is a merciful God, okay, and one that does not demand blood. So they created their own fictitious gods, and they believed that those gods demanded blood. So they had rituals that were rooted in fear, out of fear that their gods would, you know, withhold rain or the sun. You know, and they really relied on agriculture to feed them. Okay. So his writings, you know, reveal not hatred. People will say that Christopher Columbus hated the indigenous people. That is not true. According to his own writings, he expressed admiration for their generosity and for their openness. But he did note some of the issues he saw. Okay. He was a documentation type of guy. He was just constantly writing things down. And like, come on, let's be real. If you were a Christian, Christian missionary, you would have had the same reaction. Like, this is kind of messed up. You know, they're sacrificing people. They're enslaving people, you know? So he acted like any Christian missionary of this time period would have. And he wrote down everything he thought about these people. Okay. Now, the modern activist is going to read his writings, and they're going to read the same passages I do. And they're going to scream, see, he looked down upon them just because he noted some of the practices that he believed to be morally not correct. You know, human sacrifice. And he had the truth, salvation. And really what he saw was that souls need to be saved. He didn't look down on them, but he did what every missionary ever since the apostles have done. And he did that where, he tried to get them to convert with compassion, not contempt. Now you fast forward 533 years, Columbus has become the exact opposite of what his writings indicate of him. They have made him into a symbol, not of discovery, but of division. Thanks to professors, woke professors, and woke teachers. Okay, and now they say that we should celebrate Indigenous People Day instead of, you know, honoring Native history. And we can honor Native history and also not erase European faith and exploration. Because European faith and exploration has led to the beautiful things that we know and love about America today. And I don't know, maybe it's a radical thought, but why can't we have both, right? You can recognize civilizations that existed before 1492. And you can recognize the courage and the faith of a guy who bridged these two worlds together. We can celebrate both that, hey, there was something that was that happened here, and it was called balance. Okay. You know, I know that the modern classroom has completely lost that because we don't have balance today. It's all leftist indoctrination. We don't have balance in our classrooms. But we should be able to celebrate the balance. He really bridged these two worlds together. And I'm going to get into how, step by step, how he did that. And was it all kittens and rainbows? Absolutely not. Did he perform military operations, and did people die? Of course. But hey, I'm not going to judge a 15th century guy on 2025 political standards. Okay. I'm not going to judge him based off of our political standards. Okay. He truly believed what he was doing was bringing civilization. And some of that required at the time, their belief was force, required force and military operations. And I'll get to a couple of them here in the show. But first, I want to hit this scripture. John 1, chapter 1, verse 5. Scripture says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And really, that's the story of Christopher Columbus. He was a flawed man. Yes, we all are. Okay. And he was a 15th century sailor. Okay. We can't judge him by 2025 political standards. That's just arrogant and stupid. He was a flawed man, but a very faithful man. And he was guided by the light across literal darkness. Because remember, the Atlantic was called the Sea of Darkness. He was guided by light across literal darkness to bring the knowledge of the one true God to these new shores. Okay. And did he mess up? Yeah, by 2025 standards, political standards. But, you know, you look at it through the lens of 15th century, he did what he thought he had to do in order to civilize, and probably at that time what he had to do, because these were violent people as well. I told you about the warfare between tribes. He probably had to colonize, okay, in order to bring about civilization, what God called him to do. Okay. And friends, this is why they hate Christopher Columbus. It's really not because he was Italian or because, you know, he came from Europe. But really, it comes down to his purpose. It was a good purpose. It was a purpose bestowed upon him by God. And Christianity was his purpose, spreading Christianity. And the modern left can't handle that. They hate that. Okay, so today we remember Columbus Day, the real Columbus Day. We remember what it means. It wasn't about empire or conquest, but really it was about courage, conviction, and a calling that Christopher Columbus had. So we are going to dig into the second part here of the show. Smash that like button, subscribe to the channel. Make sure you archive this, because this is definitely going to be a show that you want to show your kids later today. If they're not home from school, they should be home from school. I'm pretty sure this is like a federal holiday, but, next in part two of this, we are going to take a look. So we've already looked at his first voyage, which is where he landed in the Bahamas. Okay. October 12th, 1492. Now we're going to take a look at his second and third voyages and the clash between civilizations and how faith and foolishness kind of intertwined and made the new world. Okay. So we're also going to talk about modern politicians, Joe Biden, President Ice Cream, as I like to call him, how he kept trying to bury this holiday under a mountain of guilt. So you're going to want to stick around. I'm going to take a quick break, but we're going to be right back for part two of this Columbus Day special. It's called "Columbus Didn't Just Discover America, He Ended Human Sacrifice and Brought Civilization." So stick around for part two. You're listening to Conservative Cat. hey, go ahead and smash that like button. Share this out with your friends. I so do appreciate you being here this morning. Be sure to visit PatriotPumpEnergy.com. Support the program. That's how you support the program. People always ask me, Kat, how do I support what you're doing? How do we build out the show? I want, you know, a website. I want exclusive stories. I want you to have more guests. How do we do that? Through your support, through either a super chat. I'll take your chats here in just a couple of minutes after part two of this Columbus show, Christopher Columbus show. But you can also go to PatriotPumpEnergy.com, buy your bottle of premium pre-workout. We give you a promo code. Nobody else gets this promo code. It's promo code ConservativeCat. You get $10 off. This is a great alternative to your energy drinks. I'd say it's like a little over a month's supply. It comes in a bottle. It's powder. You mix it in your water. There is no artificial colorings. So you mix it in your water. It's like pretty much clear when you mix it in your water. And no artificial colorings, no exorbitant amount of sugar and caffeine to try to get you addicted. We're not about addiction, obviously. Patriot Pump Energy wants you to have clean energy, long-lasting focus. We do that through a variety of elements in the formula, including black pepper extract. We put some creatine in there and some other vitamins that you'd need throughout the day. So get your bottle of premium pre-workout. And you don't have to take it for just working out because, like I said, there's not a ton of caffeine in there. So you don't need it to, like, you can take it without working out. Okay. Sometimes if you have those exorbitant amount of caffeine, like, you're going to need to, like, run 5 miles in order to run that off. But we don't put that much. It's 150 milligrams. You can drink it as, like, an alternative to an energy drink or a coffee in the morning. Okay. So go check it out. Promo code Conservative Cat, best promo code out there. Let's get to part two of the Conservative Cat show. I am your guide this morning through history, through truth. And yes, I'm going to occasionally poke at our modern culture and how they have demonized Christopher Columbus. And if you've been with us up to this point, we've already navigated Christopher Columbus's first voyage. The one that opened the door to the New World, where he landed in the Bahamas in 1492. And he didn't plant a flag. He actually knelt down to the ground and prayed. And he erected a cross. Okay. So, no, he didn't plant a flag and he didn't declare, this is mine. You know, and I feel like that was, that's a misconception we have about Christopher Columbus, that he was some sort of conqueror and he wanted to come over and plant his flag and call all of the, you know, old world his and declare it the new world. No, no, no. He wanted to spread the gospel above all else. And I want us to buckle up because we are diving into his later journey. So we've already covered his first voyage. And I want to talk about his later journeys and the transformative effects on Europe and the Americas. And of course, how there is this ongoing war now over how history should be remembered or misremembered. In the case of the last left, they want to misremember history. So let's talk about his later journey or voyages. Okay. So we talked about his first one, his second one. He didn't stop at the first landing. Okay. In 1492. In fact, he undertook three more major voyages. And each of them had adventure, hardship, and unplanned consequences. Okay, on these later journeys, Columbus ventured deeper into the Caribbean, explored parts of Central and South America. And as I alluded to earlier, Central and South America, they were the ones that were really about the human sacrifices and these crazy rituals to their sun gods, okay? They were all about it, thousands of people a year. And what Christopher Columbus did in these later journeys, he established colonial outposts. Okay, yes, colonies. Okay, and this was where European settlers brought their agriculture, their literacy, Christian teaching, and trade. Okay, and I want to talk about multiculturalism. Not all cultures are equal. Okay, Christian culture, Western civilization, Western culture is superior to pretty much all other cultures. There, I said it. And if you don't believe me, look at everybody who wants to come here. Okay. Everybody's pouring over the border to come here. Everybody's wanting to come here, even illegally. They're willing to pay a human smuggler to get them across the border for $9,000 a head or something crazy like that, or $3,000 a head. Everybody wants to come here. Okay. So our culture is superior to a lot of other cultures, and not all cultures are equal. That is what the notion of multiculturalism teaches, is that all cultures are equal, and that's not true. Europeans, they saw the old world, and the old world did have marvels. Yes. They had their art, like I said, the natives, they had really cool agricultural practices, okay? But this was a place, the old world, specifically in the Central and South America, these parts that were later explored. Columbus, he ventured deep into the Caribbean. Some of these later explored parts, they were seeped in superstition and tyranny, okay? Feudal tyranny, there was tribal warfare, and the New World, their ideas had moral structure, okay? And when they brought their new ideas and their moral structure, everything started to flourish under that framework, okay? Because guess what? It always does, okay? Why is America, like, the place everybody wants to be? Why is America really superior to all other civilizations? Western civilization is superior to others. It's because it works. And why does it work? It's because it's the truth, okay? Godly principles, Judeo-Christian principles, it works because it works, okay? Because it's the truth. And it really all started to flourish, okay? But here's something that rarely you will hear in your public school classroom, okay? Columbus's voyages didn't just chart lands. They laid the groundwork for moral and legal frameworks of the Americas, what we know today. So how did it do that? I've talked about this before. If you look in Exodus, I think like Leviticus, some of the Old Testament, a lot of what's in there is what we are. It's literally our legal framework, right down to what you're supposed to do when your dog bites somebody. Okay. You're supposed to put the dog down, pay a fine. Okay. we have all of those structures in place and that legal framework in place. Why? Because it's derived from the Bible. And Columbus, like I said, he would read maps and the stars and astronomy, and he was this great mind, but above all else, he read the Bible. And, you know, you won't hear in public school that what he did was lay the groundwork for our legal system. Okay. The Spanish crown, in commissioning Columbus, demanded that he respect the dignity of the indigenous people. Okay. So I bet you didn't know that. In fact, the Spanish crown demanded that Columbus respect the indigenous people while he was there. History shows us that it wasn't perfect, okay? It shows that the implementation and the actual ability to respect the indigenous people, and like I said, they weren't the nicest, okay? It wasn't the best culture, human sacrifices, tribal warfare, okay, all of that. And of course, the implementation of this moral and legal framework was a little bit tricky, okay, and often tragic, okay, leading to the death of indigenous people, but also the death of the settlers as well. And I'll get to that here in just a second. Columbus, he was not liked by the indigenous people. And he was not liked by his very own people, like the settlers, okay? And it's because he was trying to implement, it's kind of like mom and dad. Mom and dad, a lot of kids, there's rebellious teenagers out there, and they have guidelines and rules and a structure within the household curfew, right? You got to meet your curfew at 9 p.m., otherwise you're grounded. Okay. And the indigenous people and his own settlers, the people who came with Christopher Columbus and explored with Christopher Columbus, they didn't like him because he was trying to maintain the Spanish crown's demand for respect for the indigenous people. A lot of people who were with Christopher Columbus, the settlers, they wanted to kill, just outright kill all of them, okay, because that was easier, and they just wanted to wipe them all out. Christopher Columbus had a mandate by the Spanish crown not to do that. And of course, he was a Christian, and really his intent was rooted in Christian law and conscience. And legal scholars later look back on these voyages and drew principles for sovereignty, property rights, and human dignity. Okay. So legal scholars have looked back on this and they said, oh, it all started right here where Christopher Columbus, he implemented this moral and legal framework. And we can kind of look back at this, and this is where sovereignty comes from. This is where property rights come from. This is where human dignity comes from. Things that we know of today that make America so great. No other nation has things like freedom of speech. No other nation really has things like property rights. Okay. It all is derived from Christopher Columbus and his implementation, although not perfect, and a lot of times ending in tragedy where people died, it was all, we can all trace that back to his implementation of his moral and legal structure. Okay, so the European explorers were not just treasure hunters. They were not just seeking gold, and they were not just conquerors. They really wanted... they were pioneers of law, and they wanted the rule of law to be the foundation of the Western hemisphere. Okay. They wanted the law, this just law, the Christian law, what we know is today. And we know that our laws are just, thou shalt not murder, right? It's derived from Christianity, to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. They wanted to implement that in the Western Hemisphere because it is good and it is right. So the idea of kings, presidents, legislatures being bound by law, we owe that to the very first interactions between these two worlds, the old world and the new world. And, you know, there were things like property rights that were derived from this time period and later, you know, the pilgrims and, eventually, in 1700s, 1776, it really laid the framework or the groundwork for what the founding fathers designed in the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. So we really are indebted to Christopher Columbus because without him, our way of life would not look the way it does today. There would be no such thing as sovereignty, property rights, and human dignity. And really, the Spanish crown demanded that he treat the indigenous people with dignity, and it got him in a lot of trouble with his own men. Okay, so let's not sugarcoat history. Exploration also brings about hardship, disease, cultural misunderstandings. And yes, there was a clash between these two civilizations, the old world and the new world. And that had consequences. And what were those consequences? People died. There were battles fought. And... you know, yet the Christian worldview provided a moral compass for Columbus. And Columbus himself wrote in letters describing his vision for a peaceful conversion to Christianity. He wanted it to be as peaceful as possible. And had it not been Christopher Columbus, and had it been some guy who didn't have this mandate from the Spanish crown and wasn't a man of faith, it would have looked very different. I think it's as peaceful as it could have been in the 15th century time period. So Christopher Columbus, he wrote letters describing his vision for a peaceful conversion to Christianity, a path that could bring eternal life rather than mere material gain. Okay, so there were a lot of people who were with him that were there for the material gain. They wanted the trade. They wanted the commerce route, the trade routes. They wanted the gold, okay? But really what Christopher Columbus wanted was eternal life for everybody that was there in the old world. And he wanted to create a place where there was a Christian legal structure and morals structure. That's what he wanted. He wanted a place where there was no human sacrifice. He wanted a place of human dignity. And he wanted a place where there was no superstition, no fear of the sun gods or the rain gods. He wanted a place where people were saved and souls were saved. And, you know, it's easy to forget that for many of these indigenous people, the arrival of the Europeans meant exposure to both tragedy and transformation. Like, although some of the indigenous people were very resistant to Christopher Columbus and his Christianity, a lot of them were saved and transformed by the moral and legal structure, and they liked it. Okay. Why? Because we know as Christians, modern Christians today, that Christianity just works. Okay. Provides hope and prosperity and abundance when you make Jesus the way, the truth, and the life, right? So the European settlement did eventually bring like schools, hospitals, law, literacy, everything, the spread of these Christian moral principles, even amid all of the mistakes, for the most part, people really liked it. Hospitals, schools, literacy, okay? These people couldn't read, in their, you know, culture. It wasn't something that they did. Like I said, primarily, they had a lot of beautiful art and agricultural practices. So there were beautiful aspects of their culture in the old world. But like I said, not all cultures are equal. And this was better. Why? Because it brought about things like education and hospitals and literacy. And even though there were a ton of mistakes made, even though there was tragedy where people died, it was all worth it because guess what? Good things came out of it. So fast forward a bit. Columbus's voyages ignited a European exploration frenzy, okay? So I told you before that the Atlantic was deemed like the Sea of Darkness. Literally, people thought that there were sea monsters and they refused to go out on these explorations. Why did Christopher Columbus do it? Because he had God and Jesus and he read the Bible and he was really thought that he had a mandate from God himself to go out and explore. He wrote that down, that he was called to go do that. So what happened then, there was Spain, Portugal, England, France, and the Netherlands. They poured into ships and onto unknown waters. And then the trade routes really started to open up. Crops like wheat, barley, and sugar traveled across the ocean. Animals from horses and cattle. It changed entire ecosystems. I mean, this was so cool. And most importantly, the ideas. Okay, they crossed the Atlantic and came to the Western world, the old world, and became a new world, a new creation. And we're talking about the birth of the new world, the blending of continents that ultimately produced the Western Hemisphere is what we know it today, a place where the gospel could be spread, commerce could thrive, and law and liberty could take root. That is what happened during this time period where, I mean, there was this European exploration frenzy. So the reason why you can get your Amazon package here within or at your house within a day or even like 30 minutes, okay, that all came about because commerce could thrive during this time period and there were trade routes and there was just exchanging of goods going on like back and forth. Like I said, the barley, the wheat, the sugar, the animals would come here. It changed entire ecosystems. You know, this was really exciting. I think that it's super exciting. And it's all because one guy trusted God. Okay, these Europeans, this European exploration boom wouldn't have happened had it not been for Christopher Columbus trusting God and using the stars to chart his course into the unknown. So really, this guy should be celebrated, Christopher Columbus, because we would not have what we have today without him. So fast forward to the 21st century, Columbus has become a controversial figure. Modern culture has rewritten history and rewritten his story, really painting him as a villain rather than a pioneer of civilization. School textbooks have been rewritten. They've been sanitized, or they've outright erased his role in the ending of ritual human sacrifices in some of these societies, specifically in parts of Central and South America. And you can't really reason with people who, okay, sometimes by force, you have to reason with these people who are quite literally cutting out people's hearts and throwing them onto an altar for the sun gods. Okay. How do you really reason with those people? Sometimes by force, sometimes through military strategy. And we'll get to that, what some of those looked like. But his role in our school textbooks have been completely erased. They don't even talk about how he ended human sacrifices in some of these societies, which I think is absolutely incredible. They don't talk about how he introduced literacy and how some of these indigenous people actually really wanted Christopher Columbus. They were grateful for Christopher Columbus for bringing Christian principles to the New World. Okay, so meanwhile, you've got Indigenous People Day. Okay, and these campaigns aim to shift the narrative, and they don't always acknowledge the complexities. Okay, there are complexities to this. He was a 15th century sailor. The political standards of 2025 definitely should not be used to judge Christopher Columbus and his decisions and how he was able and his goal of creating a legal structure. Legal framework and a moral structure like that sometimes required force, especially when you're dealing with people who cut people's hearts out and throw them on an altar for their sun gods. Okay. So here's the irony, patriots. The same people celebrating the pre-Columbian cultures, they often ignore that some of those cultures practice religious rituals that we'd call barbaric today. Human sacrifice, cutting out people's hearts, eating them, okay? That was part of it as well. We would call that barbaric today, okay? And I think it's fascinating that those same people, they also celebrate what I believe to be a religious ritual of sacrificing children, i.e. abortion. So they don't condemn these religious rituals that are barbaric to this day. They are celebrating the pre-Columbian cultures today, but they're also celebrating the same rituals through abortion. And these Christian missionaries and explorers sought to reform it. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, reforming barbaric rituals. We should do that. And I'm not saying Columbus was perfect. No mortal person is, okay? But to strip him of his credit for uniting continents, for spreading literacy, law, opening up schools, hospitals, right? Spreading Christian moral ideas. I mean, this is a historical injustice that is going on. I can't believe that they've completely erased him from school textbooks. It's sad. So let's remember, Columbus's influence wasn't just local, okay? He inspired other voyages to happen. And we talked about the European explosion of exploration. And had it not been for one man trusting God, that would have never happened. But his voyages inspired great thinkers like Magellan, okay, and the pilgrims later in the 1600s, okay, that his voyages inspired those people, and they relied on his maps, his reports, and like I told you before, Christopher Columbus was a documenter. He loved to document everything, and This interconnected world was the prelude to modern Western civilization, which leans heavily on Christian ethics, rule of law, and individual liberty. Because it's all based on this premise that everybody is created in the image of God, okay, and should be respected with, and the Spanish crown even mandated Christopher Columbus treat these people with human dignity and respect when he came over, and he did. And he was actually hated by his own people for it, okay? So every time somebody celebrates, you know, trial by jury, property rights, freedom of speech, we're walking a path that Columbus helped open. Christopher Columbus helped open that path. And yet the modern revisionist, the activist, telling our children that he was just a plunderer, okay? And they ignore the civilization he brought and the moral framework that he defended. And they ignore the good things that came out of Christopher Columbus. And they just focus on these little mistakes, which in the grand scheme of things weren't that, wasn't that big of a deal. Okay. Judging or by 15th century standards. Okay. In 2025. Yeah. military operations against people because of their ideas and their ideology might not go over so well, but in the 15th century, like, yeah, that was what they, I mean, we do it today still. I mean, look at what's going on in the Middle East. So there's really no room for judgment of Christopher Columbus. So where do we stand today? In one corner, you have the cancel history crowd rewriting textbooks, erasing Christopher Columbus and denying Christian foundation of the Christian foundation of the West. And in the other, you have patriots like you and I, celebrating a guy who risked everything to expand civilization and bring Christ's moral compass to the Americas and open up the door to a world where liberty could flourish. Like we are opening, he opened up this door where we could have things like property rights and freedom of speech. So Columbus's legacy is not about ships and maps. It's about faith, courage, and moral leadership and the spread of civilization over chaos. And in our modern era of cultural confusion, remembering that is so important. It's more important than ever right now. We have to remember where we come from and what our culture is. It is Western culture, and it is good that it has a Christian foundation and it follows Christian ethics. Okay. So former President Joe Biden, President Ice Cream Cone, in contrast to President Donald Trump, was clearly ignorant, clearly like annoyed that Christopher Columbus dared to sail the world and encounter unknown situations. And he seemed pretty upset that Columbus dared to do that because each year in his presidency, good old Joe issued proclamations naming Indigenous People Day on the same day as Christopher Columbus Day. Okay, so although Columbus Day is a federal holiday, Delano Roosevelt designated it so in 1934, the effort to dismantle it and erase it and erase the explorer has had some success. And part of that is due to Joe Biden constantly like naming Indigenous People Day on the same day as Christopher Columbus Day. And 30 states and Washington, D.C., they do not celebrate Columbus Day. So their effort to erase this explorer has had success. And according to renamecolumbusday.org, around 221 cities have renamed it or replaced it with Indigenous People Day through proclamation or like ordinance or whatever. And they treat it as an official holiday. But woke is dead. I want to share this. This is actually a clip of President Donald Trump signing his proclamation. We talked about it earlier. Columbus Day is back and woke is dead. Take a listen. Here we go.
Christopher Columbus obviously discovered the New World in 1492. He was a great Italian explorer. He sailed his three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, across the Atlantic Ocean and landed in what's today the Caribbean. But this is a particularly important holiday for Italian Americans who celebrate the legacy of Christopher Columbus and the innovation and explorer zeal that he represented.
In other words, we're calling it Columbus Day.
Yes.
Christopher Columbus.
In other words, we're calling it Columbus Day. I absolutely love Donald J. Trump. Okay, so we are going to take a really quick break, but we'll be back with part three. This is a three-part series. Hold on. Let me pull this up. Part three. Sorry, guys. I want to make sure that I give you the right one. Okay, so three. We are diving into the concrete ways of how Columbus discovered and shaped America's legal, political, and spiritual landscape, and why Christians today should care about defending that legacy. And we are going to zero in on specific battles and victories of Christopher Columbus. Okay, so there were conflicts that he faced, particularly after that first voyage when he landed in the Bahamas, and then he had these later voyages. He faced a lot of like battles. Like I said, it's hard to reason with people who cut out people's hearts and eat them. Okay. It's tough to do. So there were battles and there were victories. And I, for one, am very glad that Christopher Columbus was victorious in a lot of those battles. Now, remember, the Spanish crown did mandate that he treat everybody with human dignity. I'm also going to get into how that was not looked upon favorably by his own people. So Christopher Columbus's fellas who voyaged with him, they didn't like Christopher Columbus because he was so nice to the indigenous people. And he treated them with human dignity and respect. So buckle up, because this is where courage, faith, and civilization collide. Smash that like button. We'll be right back. Smash that like button, share this out with your friends, and subscribe to the channel. Let's go ahead and get to some of your comments this morning. I said I'd hit those after part two. I'm going to be digging into part three, because part three, we're going to actually look and zero in on some of the specific battles and victories of Christopher Columbus. I think I've established that, yeah, it's probably a good thing that Christopher Columbus battled and conquered, or he wasn't a conqueror. He really was somebody who wanted to bring Christianity above all else. You know, it wasn't about the gold. It wasn't about the trade routes for him, really. I think it was truly about bringing Christianity and replacing this ritualistic, cult-like human sacrifice. And I don't even really want to judge those people. I don't. In the 15th century, they didn't know the truth. They didn't have the truth when Christopher brought it. People were resistant to that truth. Christopher Columbus, as always. I mean, some people today are resistant to the gospel of Jesus Christ and accepting him as Lord and Savior and accepting Yahweh as the creator. People are resistant to that. But he faced all kinds of issues bringing this ideology or bringing this faith to this part of the world, the old world, because they were, let's just say it, kind of savages. Okay, and I mean that in the most historical, kind way possible. Okay, historically accurate, kind way possible. That is just true. They were constantly at war, tribal warfare. There was slavery going on. Christopher Columbus did note that they were a really cool people in their agricultural practices and that they were very open to him being there. Their openness, their generosity. He admired them in his notes, and he documented that, which you don't hear about. You just hear that Christopher Columbus wanted to kill them all, which was actually not true. A lot of his people he was with, the 1,000 settlers he brought over on his later voyages, they wanted to just completely kill them all because it would have been easier. But Christopher Columbus had a mandate by the Spanish crown not to do that. Let's get to some of them. Good morning. Appreciate it. Great history lesson. Yeah, today it's a little bit different. Usually I go through news, the news of the day. Today I'm doing a little bit different. I haven't done a Christopher Columbus show yet. I've done Juneteenth. I've done Kwanzaa. Some of these silly leftist holidays. Kwanzaa, they celebrate a cult leader on Kwanzaa, which is bizarre. Somebody who actually wrapped up women in drop cords and burned them with curling irons or irons. Yeah, that's what Kwanzaa is all about. So we'll get to that as Kwanzaa approaches. But I've talked about Juneteenth, how it's a silly holiday. I always find it amusing how any Christian would support Luciferian dark occultists like Trump. Don't know how or why you would say that Trump is an occultist. I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump talks about Jesus Christ all of the time, and I don't know what you're having. I can't even comment on that because I literally have no idea what you're referring to. If you give me some example of Trump practicing occultist-like religion, if you give me some type of example, I could comment on it, but I'm not even gonna, I don't even know where to go with that. I wish I could. I don't know what you're referring to, because all I've ever heard from Donald Trump is, hey, Jesus Christ is king. You know, the mere fact that he has deemed this Christopher Columbus Day rather than Indigenous People Day tells me that he isn't pro-occultist religion, human sacrifice, because calling it Indigenous People Day is actually the opposite, would actually be condoning those types of cultures to this day, which I'm not even saying. Like, I'm all for an Indigenous People Day. Just keep it away from Christopher Columbus Day. You can celebrate their way of life if you want. I wouldn't celebrate Indigenous People Day because, let's be real, there were thousands of years who were sacrificed to pagan gods. So I wouldn't celebrate it, but sure. I'm not going to judge 15th century occult like behavior on 2025 standards. Okay. What we know now, they didn't know the truth until Christopher Columbus brought it over. Now I will judge the people who were resistant to Christopher Columbus bringing over those Christian values, because they preferred their human sacrifice over mercy and the gospel. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Trump would be Luciferian or an occultist. That's a new one. I will say that Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris, some people on the left, top Democrats have really disavowed Christianity. In fact, a couple of days ago, I think I played a clip of Hillary Clinton saying that men of a certain persuasion, meaning straight men, and of a certain ethnicity, white straight men of a certain religion, are damaging this country. And of a certain religion, she meant Christianity. People on the left constantly attack Christian nationalism. So I would argue that people on the left, they're actually subscribing to and supporting a Luciferian dark occultist-like religion by the denial of Christian nationalism and Western civilization and the hatred of it. Okay, so Anyway, I appreciate you guys being here. Great history lesson. Learning more about Columbus from you than I ever did in school. I appreciate the comment. Be sure to archive it, share it with your grandkids, your nieces, nephews, because these kids aren't getting this type of history lesson. So it's really sad because they've completely, if not distorted Christopher Columbus's role in history textbooks. They've just erased him completely. So I want to talk about some of these battles and victories, the conflicts that Columbus faced on his voyages, and the triumphs that ultimately shaped the Western Hemisphere. I think we've established that Christopher Columbus had really good intentions, sometimes made mistakes that ended in tragedy. For the most part, because he had this mandate from the Spanish crown, he treated the indigenous people with respect and human dignity, not only because his faith demanded it, but because the Spanish crown demanded it of him as well. So I want to start with Hispaniola. Okay, this was during Columbus's second voyage in 1493. So this was his second voyage. We talked about his first voyage. This is his second one. In 1493, he returned with 17 ships. Remember his first voyage? It was the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. 70 days at sea. He landed in the Bahamas, knelt down, said a prayer, did not plant a flag, knelt down and said a prayer. And, you know, he did this second voyage, Hispaniola. Okay, that's what the second voyage is known as. And he brought over 17 ships and 1,000 settlers this time around. Okay. And a lot of those settlers were not like Christopher Columbus. They were looking for gold and they wanted an easy path for gold. Okay. And his second voyage was not easy. Christopher Columbus, he faced mutinous settlers. So people within his own ranks who didn't agree with his, treating the indigenous people with respect and dignity. Okay. He had to deal with the mutinous settlers, people who didn't agree with him politically. They wanted to take all the gold and conquer these lands. Okay. And then he faced some friction with the Taino leaders. So this was a tribe. Okay. And this was in his second voyage. Where he faced rebellion from those indigenous tribes. They were resisting the moral and legal structure that he wanted to bring about. And he was also facing rebellion from his own men, the 1,000 settlers he brought over in the second voyage. Okay, so there was chaos on every front here, not to mention the food shortages and the diseases that they had to figure out. Okay, and a lot of people say that Christopher Columbus wiped out all of the indigenous tribes. A lot of them died because of diseases. Okay. It wasn't Christopher Columbus who strikes them down with his sword. Okay. So Columbus, he established order through structured governance. And I kind of talked about how Columbus wasn't liked by the settlers or the indigenous people because he was like the parental figure. Okay. He had structure and governance. It's kind of like the teenager who doesn't like the curfew rule. Okay. Now what he did was govern, and then he built defensive fortifications. So those were quite literally big, like castle looking structures, and he built them for defensive reasons, because he was facing so much friction from the indigenous tribes and resistance, because they liked their human sacrifices and the eating of people's hearts. They liked that and they didn't want to change. So he didn't just quell a rebellion, he built a functional colony. Okay, so through strategic negotiations with his own settlers, through defensive measures, through structured governance, he wound up building a functional colony. And He brought Christian priests, schools, moral guidance, literacy is a big one. He offered education and salvation to the indigenous people, which a lot of the indigenous people took Columbus up on. There was just a portion of the indigenous people or the indigenous tribes who were very resistant to his way of life. And they wanted superstition. They wanted to live in fear of their gods, the gods that demanded human sacrifice and blood and rather did not offer mercy. And that, friends, the way Columbus did this, he didn't go in with a sword and just cut people down like a lot of his settlers would have preferred. Okay, his own men would have preferred that they do that. But he didn't do that. He built defensive structures. So tell me, if he was such a, wanting to kill all of these people and get rid of them because they were dirty brown people, okay, why the hell would he build defensive fortifications, which we have the architecture, like history shows us that he built these things, okay? Why would he build this defensive fortifications if he wasn't going about this in a dignified way? Okay, he was setting up for war and an ideological war, which we still do today. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. We just reached a peace deal between Israel and Hamas, and really that's all ideological. Okay, one side worships Allah, the other side worships Yahweh. Okay, so it's all boils down to ideological differences. So we still have wars fought out like that today. So he, through leadership, I mean, this wasn't just, because he could have easily just mowed down these people, all right? I mean, European, 1,000 settlers, okay? He could have easily just killed all of them. But he didn't do that. He actually set up defensive structures and went about this strategically, like it was war, okay? So the second voyage, Hispaniola, he addressed the barbaric practices. And like I said, the first one was in the Bahamas. And then as he goes up South America, Central America, these barbaric practices became very prevalent. Okay, that's the rituals. And through a Christian moral lens, he believed that these were a matter of life and death. Like human sacrifice was just life and death is wrong. Killing people is wrong. Thou shalt not murder. This is what Christopher Columbus believed. And the human sacrifice was definitely part of certain indigenous traditions. Columbus intervened, not through vicious, malicious violence, okay, but by asserting Spanish authority and promoting Christian morality. And he was strong in that. He wanted to replace ritual death with teaching, with law, and the promise of eternal life. Okay, and that's where these civilizations kind of met chaos and they butted heads. Ultimately, the Patriots won. Clearly, the victory was Christopher Columbus's because guess what we have today? We have laws that have a Christian foundation. Every single law, point to every single one, I can tell you it's in Leviticus, likely, or Exodus, or Old Testament. Our laws are derived from this Christian foundation, which he brought over. So there is also this internal dissent I talked about a little bit. I'm going to dive into that with the settlers. That was another challenge that Christopher Columbus had to deal with. Some accused Columbus of mismanagement because a lot of them wanted to just go in and kill all of these indigenous people. But like I said, he had a mandate, probably, but not only from the Spanish crown, but from God. A lot of them were plotting a mutiny. They were going to uprise and they were going to kill Christopher Columbus. So he had to deal with that. And he had to sort of negotiate with them and survive. Okay. Just him surviving was a triumph. And he did this through discipline, negotiation, and reinforcing law and morality and saying that the law and morality should guide the colony And it shouldn't be just our desire to wipe these people out and collect as much gold as we can and steal all the resources. So his example echoes today. Leadership grounded in principle, courage, and faith can overcome chaos. So law is really, really important here in America. Seems like there's an attack on it, and chaos is kind of taking the front burner here. And it seems like we've descended into lawlessness. But traditionally, we have always been grounded in principle and equal protection under the law. If you steal something and you're a woman, or if you steal something and you're a man, there's equal protection. If you're a Republican and you steal something, if you're a Democrat and you steal something, you're both supposed to face the consequences. And like, that is something that should echo today, and typically does, but we're living in a time that has completely descended into chaos because they've rewritten this history and we don't celebrate the work that Christopher Columbus did. Now, I do want to fast forward to Christopher Columbus's third voyage. Okay, so we talked about his first one and his second one. The third one was in 1498, and he reached the mainland of South America near the Orinoco River. Okay, and he faced very dense jungles, unknown rivers, warlike. Okay, these are indigenous groups who were very warlike, very violent. And like I said, Central and South America, some of these indigenous peoples were very intense, okay, and cannot be negotiated with because they're the types of people who eat human hearts. Okay, so navigation itself, because it was jungles, okay, was a conflict that he had to overcome. And he had to struggle against really the unknown. And really how he triumphed was through observation, mapping, documentation, laying the groundwork for future explorers. And he didn't just get the land and conquer the land. He brought knowledge, trade opportunities, moral guidance, and he prepared the stage for civilization in his third voyage there. And he prepared the way for other explorers because he was such a documenter. He would just write down everything and map everything. And we can't forget that Columbus upheld the crown's authority, okay, his role in upholding the crown's authority. Some settlers ignored royal orders. Like I told you about, they wanted to exploit the natives. They wanted to hurt them, take them captive, okay, and they sought personal gain, the settlers. They wanted as much gold as possible. Now, Columbus, he responded with the law, regulation, and moral oversight. He was a leader, and he made sure that the settlements reflected both justice and Christian values, and he punished his own settlers. You might not have learned that in your history classes, but he punished it, his own settlers, the white people. Whoa, threw them in jail, maintained order, and he showed that it wasn't about power, okay? Governance isn't about power. It's about faith, law, and human dignity. And, you know, these conflicts, the mutiny, the internal mutiny, the indigenous people's resistance, the human sacrifice, the logistical chaos, navigating the jungle, okay? These were all opportunities for Columbus to demonstrate his Christian courage and civilizing influence. So he met all of these challenges strategically, and you know, through these conflicts and through his strategic negotiations or sometimes military operations, he was able to establish permanent settlements. He was able to establish trade networks. The first foundations of law and literacy. And I mean, it's really fantastical. I mean, this is incredible stuff. And modern culture rewrites Columbus, painting him as a villain and ignoring his triumphs over all of these things. Okay, they celebrate Indigenous People Day without acknowledging that Columbus' effort, or his efforts here, it actually stopped things like ritual murder, brought us education. You know, the left, they love talking about education and how education is a human right. Well, guess who brought it over here? It was Christopher Columbus. He didn't just discover land. He civilized it with eternal moral truths. And he brought the truth over here. And that is a lasting legacy, folks. We as patriots should celebrate his victories, his conflicts, the governance, the inspired explorers from these other European explorers at this explosion. He inspired them to come over because he was willing to cross the Sea of Darkness. And eventually, all of this, this legacy, has formed the United States into what we know it as today. The rule of law, respect for human dignity, Christian moral guidance, all traces back to these voyages. And every time we defend liberty, property, and faith, we walk the path that Columbus helped open. So I want to close part three. We want to talk about Columbus's life and how there was a series of tests. Nature, he had the test of nature. He had the test of man. And, you know, he triumphed over all of it. And history isn't just a story. It's a lesson. Okay. And Columbus, with all of the challenges and victories, embodies the lesson of moral leadership, rule of law, and spreading faith. So this is going to end our three-part Christopher Columbus Day show. I hoped you liked it. It was kind of a shorter show today, but tomorrow we'll be back at our normal scheduled programming, our regular scheduled programming, where we talk about the news. But this was a three-part exploration. Patriots, the first voyage to the second, the third voyage. And we saw, you know, how this guy acted in faith, courage, and, you know, brought civilization. And he had to take certain actions and made certain decisions that we might not agree with by 2025 political standards. But definitely by 15th century standards, I wanted to see him win over the people who were doing human sacrifices. Sorry, they might have had cool art and agriculture, and that's all beautiful. And we could celebrate that with an Indigenous People Day, but let's do it separate of Columbus Day. This has been the Conservative Cat Show. Today is a very important day. It was over 500 years ago where a Christian guy, Christian man, fulfilled his purpose and his calling by sailing the ocean blue in 1492. I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye. I love you.